to A Voice of a People here on WWGH 107.1 FM Radio. This is Linda Sims speaking, and we are live. We also stream live on the web, www.wwgh1071.com. You can also download a free app on your telephone, and the name of that app is called TuneIn. And search WWGH. Now, you can use that on any electronic device, okay? Now, there are many talk show programs we have to offer you, so I'm sure you will find one to your liking, and hopefully it will be A Voice of a People. You also have another option. That is to call in during the hour that we are on the show, well, 45 minutes from 4:15 until the top of the hour at 5 p.m. Please call 740-383-9944 if you have any questions or if you would like to make any comments. Now, let me share with you those who faithfully support A Voice of a People, starting with Chappie's Hydraulic Hose Specialist LLC, 1325 North Main Street, Marion, Ohio. Number there is 740-382-8552. Inspect Ohio LLC, your one-call home inspection company with 27 years of experience working for you. And they are located in LaRue, Ohio. Telephone number there is 740-262-0939. Last but not least, Logos Christian Ministries, Pastor Jackie Peterson, 582 Lee Street, Marion, Ohio. Telephone number there is 740-223-1515 or www.logoschristianministries.com. And just a heads up, she will be my guest next Monday here on A Voice of a People, Pastor Jackie Peterson. Same time, 4:15 to 5 p.m. So tune in, and thank you for your loyal support, and those of you who are faithfully listening to A Voice of a People, thank you so much. Now, I like to start the show off with the thought for today, and it's titled, A Calm Mind Can Find the Answer. Whose mind is calm during all this chaos we're living in today? Mm-hmm. And everywhere we turn, there's something else in it. So fast.
Very fast.
And the year is almost out. And the rest of this says, the best way to deal with a situation is to start by calming the mind. Only a calm mind can find the answers to problems. We need to understand that every problem has an answer. When your mind is relaxed, you can trust your intuition to find the answer that is already there. Hopefully that will help someone, and I'm surely hoping it's going to help me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
In this hectic time, right?
Yeah, definitely. Yes. We need a lot of peace.
Yes, we do. Yeah. Yes, we do. And the voice you hear is Johnny Jackson. Uh-huh. How are you today, Johnny?
I'm doing pretty good. How you doing, Miss Sims?
I'm doing good. And That's good. Brought someone with him, Anthony Marks Jr.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Lionhearted for short.
His first time being on A Voice of a People, and we welcome him, and hopefully it will not be his last. Yeah. Okay? All right.
Welcome you back many times y'all want.
Okay.
Definitely. Yeah.
So, Johnny Reed, refreshing my mind about what you're doing now. You're doing so much in your title at the school and your promotion and all that.
Definitely, Ms. Sims. I'm happy to be here. In the previous times I was here, I was doing more community organizing around food, around housing, around getting diversity awareness. Well, I was recruited by Marion City Schools to work as diversity and equity supervisor. So I really got three big things that I do. One piece is culturally affirming kids of color, like making sure that they feel good about being in school and feeling a sense of belonging. Social justice and anti-racist training for our teachers. And then, right? So, and then the last piece is thinking about policy, how policies and resolutions are producing equity for our school system. So that's what I'm doing now. But I'm happy to be here on Voice of People talking about African American education and community type of things. So
Hi, Johnny.
Hey.
Hopefully we get it right today, right?
Definitely.
And this is Anthony Marks Jr.
What's going on, y'all? What's up?
Yeah, he's going to help me with my little problem of being live.
We'll definitely get some things together.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, absolutely. So, you're just so busy, Johnny, in our community. We're so glad to have you and so fortunate that you are here.
For sure.
You know, and doing these things. And how does school look? As far as attending and returning, what's going on with
that? So, we released our plan last night, and we hope to be back face-to-face with a more of a hybrid model where students will come back a couple days, come to class a couple days, and then be online a couple days. So, that's one option. The other option is straight online for parents and students that feel more safe about the online environment or what they'll be learning due to COVID-19. I think that that's another option. I know we've taken a lot of steps over the summer to make sure our operations, the buildings are being cleaned and that we have protocols from the CDC and like Marion Public Health and other health officials to really think about, again, social distancing, washing our hands, wearing our mask, and just practicing social distance as much as possible. But we also understand that schools are a hub of a lot of equity things that happen around food, around education, around even mental health support. So opening up schools, like, we have a large task. And I mean, I give a shout out and props to our superintendent, assistant superintendent, and the district leaders that are really trying to do this the right way. So, yeah, shout out to them. Yeah.
Great.
Yeah,
great.
For sure. So, we're trying.
Yeah. What else can we do? It sounds so complicated, though, doesn't it?
And you place on top of that, like, particularly like black kids, kids of color, who even prior to the pandemic, and prior to this movement around racial justice over the summer, like, we know that schooling wasn't always a place of belonging for them. So it's trying to make sure that, I mean, in my eyes, that schooling becomes an affirmative place and then also a place of social justice work. So.
Right.
That's true. Yeah. That's so true. Wow. Yeah. And what about you, Anthony? What are you doing?
Bit of everything right now. So first off, I'm the owner of Lionhearted Entertainment. A lot of you will be seeing us around soon. We got a couple of events coming up with Mr. Johnny Jackson here.
Okay.
We have a walk that we're doing in the city from Martin Luther King to the place of his choice of historic sites. And then we also have the art gallery that's happened here, which I'm calling the Black Renaissance.
Okay.
That's one of the major first time y'all going to see anything like this type thing. Because what I'm doing is we're going to hold it in Lincoln Park where you can drive through. Because everybody's scared of the COVID right now. And plus, I don't want the city to be like, well, you guys can't gather. You got to dispense or somebody will get some fines paid.
Right.
So they're going to be able to drive through and look at all the pictures that I've taken from all the protests that I've been to here. And also get to see other artists who are bringing the protest things as well. And hopefully we can get back to the community and show them that this fight is more than just on our shoulder. It's for all of us to see what's really going on behind closed doors.
And also,
like, I'm trying to work on trying to get more funds coming in where we can start negotiating with black banks here in Ohio.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Unfortunately, like, since I moved here, I'm learning slowly about everything that's going here. And I found out there's only two banks here, one in Toledo and one down in Cincinnati.
So, oh, okay. Black-owned?
Black-owned. Mm-hmm. Okay. The only two banks that are here.
Okay.
So I'm hoping that I can continue to reach out to them or bug them enough that somebody says, okay, listen, what do you really want?
Right.
Because I talked to the one in Toledo. I was just trying to open an account with them, and I found out that the reason why we can't bank with the one in Toledo, even though we're here, because they have certain ordinances and charters that they have to abide in, and it only allows the surrounding neighborhoods that they are able to localize themselves into, and that's a huge problem. Even when I talked to the charter people, I found out that the charter people, they said that they can't help in anything, really, because that's basically a Congress type thing.
Okay.
So I was like, man.
Yeah, because you're talking federal.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's federal.
So if we can't get some lawyers to back us and possibly, you know, change those laws, then maybe the other workaround is to bring the banks closer to us.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that'd probably be the better. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because I don't know how, what to expect as far as people changing the laws. You know, that might be a little far out there. Who knows? But it might be better just to bring one closer.
Yeah, you know, shoot, you ain't got to skin the cat. What they used to say back in the day, the old folk, they used to say, it's more than one way to skin a cat.
More than one way to skin a cat.
They used to say that, but you know, then I heard say, no, there's only one way.
There's only one way to skin it.
That's only one way to throw a rock at a rooster.
Right.
Like, what's the other way to do it? I'll show you one day. Like, how you gonna do that?
But that's a good thought, isn't it?
Yeah.
If it don't work this way, we'll try the other way. Right.
Right. Yeah.
Could you imagine?
Yeah.
Wow.
That thought about having a black bank is important because, you know, I know in the Toledo situation, they're trying to keep their resources in their community. Well, then how do you do that? Part of it is people pulling their resources and investing in a small community-owned bank.
Right. Because
that's what it is. It's a community credit union style.
Right.
Like
if
I buy in, I put my money in this bank, that means I have a share.
That's true.
So I bank with two community credit unions, one here in Marion and one in Oxford, Ohio, because I used to live there.
Right.
Well, both, every month I get a document telling me, like, all the things that are happening. Like, these are the loans. This is how we're investing our money. This is where you can see our money. We're having this business meeting. Come to this business meeting so you can understand exactly what we're doing. So it's like if the three of us started a bank, and then we asked our community of, I don't know, let's say 10,000 black folks here in Marion County, then every one of them then put their money in our bank, then they would have a share in our bank.
Right.
So that's what it is, really, is like, yeah, but we can do that around time, too.
Oh,
That's one of the innovative things that communities, particularly black communities, have done in the South for forever.
True.
If I grow beans, you grow tomatoes, you grow okra.
Right.
Then the time that I put into mine and the time that we put in yours, we trade that. So it's actually getting back to those roots that
I
value what Anthony is doing around, like, calling and thinking about, like, how do we produce black culture locally in Marion? Because we've always been producing it.
True.
But it isn't always captured on a Marion, Ohio, and national framing.
That's true.
I think it's powerful.
It is powerful because a lot of times, like, back in the day when my parents had gardens and things like that, just going off that vein, it was their way of life.
Yep.
You know, and they would walk to the garden and in the evening of the day and go and with their hoe and dig up the dirt and pull the weeds, you know, lay their little seeds down and they're covering them up. It was a part of life.
Yeah.
And they enjoyed it, you know, so. But like you said, they would give a family this much land and another family that much land out of two lots, maybe three lots of the garden. A lot of people prospered from that, you know. But it was a quiet thing. But like you said, some of our black businesses, I think maybe a few years back, we had quite a few black businesses here in Marion, Ohio. Really? Oh, yes, we did. Yes, we did. We had Lucinda's, which was in the basement down Charlton's place right next door over here. She had a business, and Alex Reese has one still, his wife has hers. But it was like quite a few. I don't know what happened. Then now we had COVID, and you just don't know how people are faring, right? So I think there was another one. Kiana Rivera. Dance studio.
Her dance studio.
Yes, that's a black-owned business. So, and that we do need to be on that vein where we can have our own things, you know, and do our own stuff. Yeah.
And that is, there's a resurgence, like a renaissance. I like the word that you use. There's a renaissance in us thinking about buying black, thinking about investing even in each other, because I think that's another piece is like what you understand about microphones and sounds and entertainment can be paid towards Miss Sims. What Miss Sims knows about entertainment and getting on a mic, being in a radio station getting syndicated or any of those things
right.
could be paid to me. But then I also think my young people in the school system, they can grow from two very powerful people who have powerful platforms and voices.
True.
So the circle keeps growing because our young people always need very affirmative images.
Yes, right. they do.
They need culturally sound images, and they need images of vision into the future. And I think that's really like why I see value in really being an educator. It's because right. I had that growing up, and I want to pay that forward to other young people of color, young people in general.
Need that. Yeah. Need to capture their minds. Because yeah. just like right now, going through this COVID, what are yeah. the children even thinking?
Yeah.
You know, yeah. life has changed drastically for them, you know, and this yeah. is a time where that positive input and feeding this to them, well, we can do this or we can try this and we can motivate them to be entrepreneurs, you know what
yeah.
I'm saying?
Yeah.
So this is a time that is very important. Like you said, you don't even know if mm-hmm. they're going to be going back to school. Mm-hmm. Not really.
Mm-hmm.
And some of those options are like way out there,
yeah.
you know?
Yeah. Like, so I think about my nephew who lives in North Carolina.
Okay.
And in the state of North Carolina, I know that they are not going to be going back to school. They are going to be going online. But my nephew, in March, in the spring semester of this year, he actually thrived under these conditions of
oh,
where he
did.
Was
We're
online.
Great.
He was able to learn. He was able to get his stuff done. Because in the virtual world, he plays a lot of video games.
Okay.
So this okay. kind of matched with what he was going to be
oh,
doing.
He could ace that then.
Yep.
Right?
Yep. Yep. So
that was familiar.
Right. All right. It was familiar being in there. But we do also have to consider our young people who might not do well under the situation.
Situation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I know that Marion City Schools is thinking very innovatively about right. one-on-one type of conversations and tutoring and talking mm-hmm. and teaching and that type of thing that's going to need to exist.
Right.
So yeah, like it, we do. Like education is in mm-hmm. a place where we have to consider how Black children and Black communities access holistically education
Absolutely.
Into the future.
In the future.
And how also they are cultural makers. I only became an educator, I shouldn't say only, because I had Jerome Bohanna, had Tara Dyer,
right.
I had Sean Jackson, Kathleen Clemens. I had Black
you
educators
were surrounded.
Around
yes.
us.
Yes.
So that is something also, is like how do we prepare the future generations of educators? Because right now in the U.S., about 86% of our educators are white, mostly white female teachers.
Okay.
Well, I think that is disproportionate. We have about 26% nationally that are kids of color.
Mm-hmm.
So we want to, in the education field that I'm a part of, we want to shift that. We want more students of color to be in education.
Right, right, right.
So that's a big thing.
Right.
Yeah. What's going on?
She said, your face is sideways. Okay, I was so trying to fix that.
Turn your screen rotation off.
Oh, I don't know how to do it now.
That's okay. We'll figure it out.
Anthony Marks is going to help me with this.
Yeah,
I'm struggling.
We'll get it together, y'all.
He's going to help me with that. So hold on, Annette. Yeah, I see during this time that the shutdown and all that, uh-huh. a lot of people have turned to media.
Yep.
And, you know, they're singing, they're preaching, they're mm-hmm. doing all kind of things, you mm-hmm. know. So I'm like, well, why can't I put my show on here?
You can.
You know?
Yeah. You get your nice YouTube channel.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, so basically.
Facebook Live?
Yeah. Because that's basically
what. Is it Facebook Live? That's yeah.
I was going to say, that's basically like right there where I want to start teaching our youth about as well. Especially in this environment that we're in right now, they can have an opportunity where they can thrive.
Right.
So that means basically right now, they literally can tap into alternate means of income. Like, yeah, it's cool to work a 9-to-5. It's cool to be busting your butt at Whirlpool or at Graphic Packaging. You know, we ain't knocking none of those places. You make good money there. You can retire with $1 million.
Right, got good benefits.
Yeah, good benefits. Ain't nothing wrong with that. But if you have opportunities now while you're young to learn how to make yourself your own company, your own employer, your own employee, and possibly pay for your own college, where you go in, you don't have to sign up for a loan.
Right.
You got to sit there with the loan officers like, okay, so what are my options? Okay, I need my parents here. Okay. You can walk in and be like, okay, how much do I owe? Oh, you owe like $10,000. Okay, who do I make out the check to?
I know that's right. Yeah. Just do it, right?
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's unfortunately in the world that we live in, money is power. So what we have to figure out for the kids is how do we get them what they need in order to prosper enough so they can take care of themselves?
See, I like that. I like the way you're thinking, because now you're talking to maybe some boys that have made a bad decision and thought that selling drugs was the way to go. You know, and life is over for them because they've made those mistakes, but they don't know how to move away from that and get to where, like you're saying, hey, your mind, let's elevate your mind. Let's try something different, you know, because you can have money. Like you said, write a check for $10,000, and that's what they see, that fast money. It's like right here, you know.
It's so easy.
Yeah. Enticing, but all the OGs will tell you in the street, all the gangsters will tell you, like, man, that's not even where you really want to end up at in the end of the day.
Yeah.
Like,
you get
street reputation, you get, like, hood credit and everything. Everybody love you while you have it. That's what I'm saying.
They gotta know, hey, I can still have it by doing this.
Right.
And not going to work, like you said, 9 to 5, starting a new job. And I like that, what you were saying. I really do.
That's why I partner up so hard with John. Like, John can literally tell me, look, bro, I'm going to Baltimore today. I'm like, all right, so what you need me to do? Like, that's why I rock with John so hard, because he's trying to teach and elevate the kids for the future. And I want to be able to help him do whatever it is that he needs to do to help them, because I want to help them too. We have the gang. We may have two different aspects of what the goal is, but our goals are aligned in the same direction.
For sure. So, like, we got a we'll be partnering on another initiative this coming year. It's called Harambe. Harambe is a program centered on boys and young men of color in the Marion City Schools. We received, through partnership with the Y, and shout out to Aaron Slater, a grant for about $6,000.
Okay.
And we have three sites, one at elementary school, middle school, and high school. And it is all around empowering boys and young men of color. Because we know three things. One, when we place culturally achieving things at the feet of our young people, they thrive. That's one piece. We know if we also place men of color in front of young men of color in the schools, that their attitude about school, academic, and social learning, they actually go up. Really? We know that
too.
Good. And the last thing that we do know is that, like, I need to, they call it the metaphor of mirrors, windows, and doors, that young men of color particularly, but students of color in general, they need mirrors to see themselves in.
True.
They need windows to look out into, and they need doors to walk out into. That's by Rudine Sims, who's this amazing educator, a woman, African-American woman from
Ohio State. They got to have that imagination.
They do.
Also. Yeah.
They do. So Harambe is really steeped in that. And bringing on Anthony, I really like his vision for storytelling, because that's the black oral tradition. And then also for multimedia work. So that's one of the things I'm really excited about for Marion City Schools this year. And then even if we are online, that is something that we can do things online, but also meeting a person every once in a while.
Right.
Uh-oh.
Got a
caller. Yeah.
Hello, caller. Hello. Please don't hang up. We've called numerous times to verify your business with...
That's not for us.
That's not for us. That's all good.
It's okay. Maybe.
Yeah, next time.
People are listening. People are waving at me and things like that. So hopefully we won't lose this one. But I'm just excited about what can be.
Yep.
What can be, you know, and I'm you just don't know how I feel to see young black men doing something, wanting to do something, have a vision.
Like
a bucket said, write the vision and make it plain.
Make it plain. Yeah. I like that. Make it plain.
Yeah, make it plain, like, so that he that reads it can run with it. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Just make it plain. So we we have to listen to what the Lord is saying to us, you know.
Definitely.
Because
we have to.
We're in an unprecedented time.
That's
something that I'm also really keen on as well, because okay, far as the conditions are going right now, things are kind of harder on our community.
Mm-hmm. Of course, yeah.
So if we can figure out ways to branch out to each other and reach out to each other and keep building with each other,
right?
Then possibly in the midst of us bringing back our sense of community, mm-hmm. building our sense of community, restoring our sense of community, we might be able to this possibly reach back into what the thoughts of God may be towards not just us, but all His people. And
right.
What I mean by all His people, when He first created us, He first created every last one of us to know who we were.
Right.
In other words, like, we know each other. We are all on equal grounds.
Mm-hmm.
You love your brother as you're supposed to. You did as God said. That was
yes.
it. That was just flat out what it was.
That was it, yeah.
But somewhere along the way, as, you know, rulership, monarchy, and all that stuff came in,
right.
you start to see things branch off to be somebody has to be lower to someone to survive.
True.
And that got us to the point where it seemed like as if we have gotten to the point where we even are destroying some of ourselves. And I think, like, strongly that this is God's opportunity, more importantly, to show that He can bring us back to where we're supposed to be. And in the midst of doing that, continue to show everybody else that we exist, so they should exist, and we should cohabitate with each other.
Right.
Because in His eyes, there's nobody else. You know what I'm saying? This is flat ground. That's it. Like, you can't go to the left, you can't go to the right. Like, this is flat ground. Oh, you trying to reach higher ground to your brother? I'll make the mountain go down. Now you gonna flat ground with everybody else. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's just who God is. He wants us to understand, like, don't fight against somebody that can help you.
Right.
And don't keep breaking other people that are supposed to be on your side.
True.
So, you know, more importantly, like I said, it's just God trying to show Himself again. Mm-hmm. I think that's one reason why all this stuff started happening.
Yes. I believe that, too. All the way around, mm-hmm. even church and all that, you know, it's like, okay, Lord, what are you saying?
Right,
to us,
right.
You know, slow down, settle down, you know mm-hmm. that I am God. Listen to me. Let me lead you and guide you and show you the way, you know. So, I mean, He literally shut down the whole world to get our attention. To get our attention.
For sure.
We ever have seen anything like that? We've had world wars. We've had a lot of other diseases come through. We've had all types of craziness happen throughout the time of history. But now, even as advanced as we are, everything is completely at a standstill.
Yeah.
Right.
And it's not just, the sad part about it looked like it was going down, now it's going back up again.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, you haven't learned the lesson first time. Let me keep doing this until you get what I'm saying.
Isn't that something?
Yeah.
I think it's so powerful now, because I think about, so I was raised here in Marion, Ohio.
Right.
I was raised by my mom, Etesta Hudson, by my grandmother, Willie Reed Goodman, and my grandmother, Miss Goodman, took me to Christ Missionary Baptist Church.
Uh-huh.
And one of the things that stood out to me in my upbringing in an African American church is the notion of serving the least of them.
Right.
So I think that this uprising against racism, a pandemic, economic fallout, has showed me as a person in my upbringing and thinking about how do you as an educator, you as a community member, serve the least of them.
I think many people are
thinking about whether you work at a radio station or a nonprofit or a business. How do we make sure that we get back to that ethical commitment of serving the least of them?
Oh, yeah.
And I think it is quite powerful to be a part of what we call Freedom Train.
Right.
Like, what? Right. How do we make sure that we get back to that ethical commitment that some people might say is God, some people might say it's the white church or the African American church, but it really is deeply the most human experience is to serve other people for the joy, loving, and belonging of that.
True.
And I think that's so key. I mean, that's why I'm in education, because a lot of it has to do with service to other folks.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely. Definitely. Yeah. And we're supposed to be, you know, our brother's keeper.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
We're supposed to. Yeah. You know, that's why the media is here to get the word out. We were essential, you know. So I really wasn't down during the COVID, except my daughter got the COVID, and I was around her. We was both on 14-day quarantine, you know. But I didn't have it. I was negative.
Oh, good.
Thank God. And she's back to work and all that. But
you had to go through that test.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The throat. They did the throat.
They did the throat.
They be jabbing folks.
They do.
No. Like, let's stop. Slow down. Like, let me drink some coffee first.
Let me tell you. Yeah, and it kind of hurts. I'd rather do the throat than the nose because it looked like they're going up in your brain. You know, I couldn't handle that one at all, you know. No, so yeah, we had to get tested. Surely did. My other daughter, she was around me, so she was on 14-day quarantine.
Oh, wow. Yeah,
so.
God still watched over.
Yeah, and we've seen that for real, that the black community nationwide has suffered under COVID-19.
We have.
Well, you're talking about frontliners. You're talking about people that are in the hospitals.
Yep.
Nurses aides. Right. And she worked in the, she does work at Heartland Nursing Home. So, you know, these are frontliners. So I can understand that to a certain extent. I can. And I can understand us not really taking care of ourselves like we should.
Yeah. So, you know, out of that, our Marion Public Health declared racism as a public health issue, particularly in the black community, right, where there's certain social determinants of health, like might be diabetes, high blood pressure. A lot of those things can be linked to high stress environments.
True.
Whether it is like I'm going to work, I get paid a low wage, then I go home, and I'm eating this, I'm eating that.
Right.
A lot of it can be played to like what's going on in our different environments.
That's true.
But what I always argue in my writing and thinking is also, you know, you can really look at the type of racism around the black experience in America. Yeah. And epigenetics is real. Like the way that your genes are set up and how that's passed up to you. So
I believe it.
All the joy of the black experience in America, but also all that pain around the black experience. So,
And intimidation,
right?
Yeah, because you're not comfortable. And you're like, oh, wow, why? You know, and you do your best to be comfortable.
To be comfortable. So that key around belonging, I know for African American children, whether they're in elementary, middle, or high school, is so key. Because when we feel like black children, black kids can belong, and they can see the images of them in the curriculum.
Right.
They can see people that look like them. Right. It'll take down some of that anxiety. So that's really key for me, because I know that when I felt like when I was in high school, we had Growing Our Own, this amazing program where we went to historically black colleges. We had black mentors. We had people in the community that really were like caring about us. Like, I remember my confidence was high. And that's how I actually end up in college. Is I have high confidence, people telling me I can do it, and pushing me into different spaces like that.
Right.
So,
Lord knows I got put there a couple of times. I was like, man, I ain't gonna make it through this. I ain't gonna make it through this course. I'm gonna fail these tests. Lord, let me bail out. I can't. We talked to the teacher. You think I'm actually gonna make it in this career? Like, man, this. You got the third highest. You got the fourth highest grade in the class. Look, keep working, man.
It's just hard. It's not easy. I mean, it's like you were saying about your nephew, how he was able to ace during this time of COVID.
Yeah.
I've heard other people saying that their children are doing better. It's more of a one-on-one situation, and kids do better with the one-on-one.
We know that. Small classrooms.
Yes, yes.
One-on-one. Yes. You're able to ask questions. Do things what kids do is just be curious, right? Natural.
Right.
That's so real. Like,
a lot of them are doing better.
So hopefully, like, we can take what we learned during COVID-19, the things our young people didn't do so well on, and the things that our young people did do really, really well on, and we can use that as a matrix for what education can become.
Right.
But for me, I always am saying is, I put Black young people at the center of my work. Like, so I think about them and their creativity, their knowledges, their ways of being, who they come from, mm-hmm. that have knowledge.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And then I think that is a secret sauce for where we can go in education when we put our young people and people of color at the forefront.
I completely agree with it, because knowing Johnny's background and knowing my own background, mm-hmm. like both of my parents, they were incarcerated.
Mm-hmm.
Statistically, my mom would tell you, like, statistically, my son's not supposed to be anything.
That's real.
Neither is my daughter.
Mm-hmm.
My sister, she works at a very well-known, respected health facility doing some eye care stuff. All I know is she get paid a lot. That's all I'm saying.
I'm sure she does.
She's down there in Houston, Texas, doing her thing. And me, I'm getting more involved in the community, using the things I've learned and trying to bring it back as well.
Right.
Because, like to get back even on the issue that I wanted to talk about earlier about, like, us all gathering together as a community, like, there is absolutely no reason that we can't continue to link together and build something that would go on for generations. And what I mean by that is, when you really look at it, if you have those old mothers that have been planting their garden and they can sit down with the kids if they have the time to teach them how to till the field, or like some guys that I know down in Atlanta, Georgia, Khalifa Lee, shout out to you, man. Like my homeboy Khalifa, he actually has a program where they go around Atlanta building gardens, mm-hmm. and teaching kids, mm-hmm. how to do that and how to produce for themselves so they can continue to grow and learn how to take care of themselves so they don't have to just survive on just grocery stores alone.
True. And healthier foods, too. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Right. That's one of the main things right there. We're in these stressed times, and not only in these stressed times, but the things that we eat are putting more stresses on us.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
And we don't always have a source of always how to reach out to other things or other places or have money to go in other avenues to get the fresh produce.
Right, because right now, stay home as much as you can, right? Isn't that the order? And they're thinking about shutting down more things today. Mm-hmm. I think